Scrolling for March 15th, 2016. I'm Steve Fodor.
I'm Patty O'Hessenflo.
Oh, boy. We're just a couple of Irish guys sitting around. I can't even do an Irish accent. That's as close to an Irish accent as I could do right there.
Oh, good job there, Mr. Steve.
It's a really complicated accent to do. Those actors who can do an Irish accent, good for them.
I can do one every once in a while. I'm not that good at it.
It is St. Patrick's Day this week, so happy St. Patrick's Day to all of our Irish listeners and to everybody, because everybody's Irish on St. Patrick's Day.
Well, I'm growing my big beard right now. I've put on my leprechaun clothes. I'm all ready, man.
I really think you have leprechaun clothes now. I think that's a thing. I've seen some of the pictures that you post on Facebook for Valentine's Day and for your superhero holidays.
I'm a cherub at times. You never know what I am.
I know what you are. Brings us to our film at 11, our movie of the week, and we both, as separately, had an experience watching the ESPN film. This is one of their 30 for 30s. This was the 85 Bears.
The 85 Bears. This is one of the Grantland films.
Right. And you explain this to me. What's the Grantland films? That's the film company, right?
It is. After 30 years, ESPN had put some money together, and they wanted to do some movies. And there were 30 movies for 30 movies for 30 years. Well, they've had two or three seasons of this, maybe more. So there may be 100 of these films out there. Just recently, back in October, they let go of Grantland, which they were doing some cost cutting. And so that group has put together another group. And they're going to start a new online presence and a show with HBO, and it's called The Ringer.
Hmm.
So Grantland Films, if you've ever watched any of the 30 for 30s, you know one thing. They're quality.
Yeah.
And I don't think I've ever watched a bad one. So these are kind of like the in-depth Sports Illustrated articles you used to read as a kid.
They're real fun documentaries, and I like documentaries when they have a really good story. And these, they've designed a very good story for each of them.
Well, in fact, this is the Buddy Ryan story.
It is. Isn't that interesting?
Yes.
That the 85 Bears, you know, that's a big moment in my life. When I was 10, the 85 Bears was the thing around here.
Now, I grew up in North Carolina, and so this year, I mean, the build-up to the Bears, they were not a home team. Mm-hmm. Our home teams that we would get at the time were probably, well, I knew the Redskins were, Washington was the team. We would get Dallas or San Francisco. So the Bears were a very special treat that we'd have. And they were building to be, I mean, just what they could ultimately should have been a dynasty.
Yeah.
But they built for this one year where they were just the incredible team.
They were dominant. There's no doubt about that. They only lost one game that season, and that was to Miami. And other than that, they just rolled over teams.
And the following year, they only lost two games.
Mm-hmm.
So Buddy Ryan had left. The story is Buddy Ryan leaves at the end of the season to take over the Philadelphia Eagles. But what we learn is that Buddy Ryan, I guess in 81, had been working as a defensive coordinator,
mm-hmm.
and they were going to fire the coach. And the Bears defense wrote a letter to George Halas, which is the owner of the Bears,
mm-hmm.
and said, "We want you to keep Buddy Ryan." Now, Buddy Ryan may have thought he was going to get the head coaching job, but eventually it went to Mike Ditka.
Right.
Which we get to learn a little bit about his story.
Mm-hmm.
But ultimately, the most interesting part of that is Ditka ran the team. Buddy Ryan ran the defense, and they did not communicate very well.
Any communication that they had was usually argumentative. They did not get along. They disagreed about just about everything.
And you could see Ryan being very divisive throughout his entire career.
Mm-hmm.
It was almost like a military unit where we're built to win,
mm-hmm.
and don't mess this up for us.
Yeah. And the defense definitely won that Super Bowl. There's no question that the offense for the Bears was interesting. They had some characters, mm-hmm. but that defense was just knock people down and run them over.
Well, as Ryan was putting together the defense, we had interviews with Mike Singletary,
mm-hmm.
and with McMichael.
Steve McMichael, Mongo.
Yes, which Mongo was definitely a very colorful character. In fact, the entire cast... This may have been the beginning of the modern football franchise.
It was. Those guys were so much in the media for their own characteristics. They were in all of the commercials that year and for subsequent years. And they did that song, the Super Bowl Shuffle. They got together as a group because they realized how important they were as individuals and as a team. And they made a music video.
Now, we may have gotten a touch of this with the Pittsburgh Steelers, with Terry Bradshaw. And the defense they have, the steel curtain and things like that. The Dallas Cowboys under Tom Landry are much more reserved. So this was, I mean, think about it. We have cable sort of taking over. This was a way to be able to get these players out in other areas. They became, I mean, everything was a commercial.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, every one of them had commercial deals, and they talked a little bit about that.
Yeah, Jim McMahon with his Adidas headband, and that how that was a real problem for the NFL because the commercial entity that is the NFL would not allow any other symbol to be on the field, and Jim McMahon, being who he is, had his protest the next week.
Well, and there's a decorum with the NFL. That I want to say Jerry Jones down in Dallas has really tried real hard to break from and to show the, in fact, they're just opening up a star hotel where it's a hotel, it's a bit office complex, and around it is their practice football fields, and you can go visit them and pay them for that privilege. But they, Dallas right now is kind of showing the NFL like, hey, you want to make money? Let me show you how to do it.
Yeah.
But at the time, the NFL was still working very much in tradition, and this is how we do things.
Mm-hmm.
And we really got the break from this. And in fact, this is a sort of a preview of what the city of Chicago would ultimately take this and work with Michael Jordan and the Bulls and their winning dynasty, their sixth championship.
That's right. This was a definitely a great documentary. I really suggest everybody watch this, even if you weren't in Chicago in 1985. I was there as a young boy. We had just moved house in 1985, and the refrigerator was in the wrong room because the kitchen was being redone. So the football game was on, and the refrigerator was in the room.
Really?
So my father took electrical tape and put a 72 on the front of it because of William Refrigerator Perry, who was such a character. He still is such a character.
So do you get your wit from your father?
Oh, absolutely. No doubt about that.
Was he kind of a prankster?
Yes, he is definitely known for his humor. And I'm a funny guy.
So we're going to expect this from your sons, too.
Unfortunately, yes. That is how that works.
Well, the story of William Refrigerator Perry was also very interesting because Buddy Ryan did not want to draft him.
Right.
And Mike Ditka said yes. So Buddy Ryan would not let him play on defense.
Right.
And ultimately, he played on offense. Mm-hmm. We get a little bit of the controversy when the Super Bowl came, and absolutely Chicago dominated the Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
But one of the players, Walter Payton, who is probably one of the top players in the NFL ever,
right,
a running back, was not allowed to run the ball in for a touchdown.
And Mike Ditka really feels bad about that. He says now that he didn't notice.
But Jim McMahon was basically, I think he described correctly, this is what was going on, that every time Walter Payton would get the ball, everybody was focused on him.
Right.
Because for many, many years, the Bears, who had lost forever, only had Walter Payton.
For offense.
Mm-hmm. And ultimately, everybody would gravitate to him. So other players were open. Mm-hmm. And that's how the Bears would take advantage of these
players. So even though Walter Payton did not score a touchdown, and he really was sad about that,
mm-hmm.
even though that's true, he was the one who won the game because all of the focus of the defense was on him, so everybody else had the chance to get the game done.
And McMahon was just absolutely just the right quarterback for the Bears. And he knew how to throw the ball. I knew Jim McMahon from back when he was playing for BYU because in November, when the football games were, college football games were starting to lighten up quite a bit, we always ended the season with BYU playing San Diego State. And BYU had these quarterbacks, and it wasn't just McMahon, who could just throw the ball, and they would score 50 points. And the games were always, 52-44, and McMahon was just this guy that was not a Mormon. I mean, that's a good way of describing it.
That's a great way of describing Jim McMahon. Not a Mormon.
He was very much right in with what the Bears were, a colorful character. And because of his bravado and stuff like that, he eventually had a Green Bay Packer come up and just crunch him.
Just body slam him, pick him up and throw him to the ground and damage his shoulder.
Well, that changed his life forever.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, he's still dealing with many players. In fact, that's one of the part of the story we got is where he was going, I think, to New York for some spinal therapy.
Mm-hmm. Very interesting.
And what was very interesting about it is once they realigned his spine, he said, I could feel the fluid from my brain coming right down.
Draining.
All right, so Jim McMahon basically lives in a fog many days. They show him doing puzzles and stuff like this. Many ex-players are in the same situation. And it's called CTE is what we usually are dealing with. And that's brain traumas, ultimately.
Mm-hmm.
And then we also have a bear that committed suicide, and he also had CTE.
Mm-hmm.
So McMahon is very conscious of what was going on. This is a fabulous show. It's very touching. Buddy Ryan, who is his ultimate driver, all you can think of is like this World War II, you know, sergeant who's taking you through hell to get to Germany.
Right.
And now he's just a fragile older gentleman.
Yeah.
And
it's a very touching story. It's a great documentary. It's got such a good story. That's the best thing about documentaries is when you have a real story with a plot to it,
mm-hmm.
that makes a good documentary. The other one that you watched was an episode of American Experience on PBS. This was called Freedom Summer. Tell us about that one.
Well, I got this through iTunes. It's available through Amazon or any other type of service also. But this is a story of back in 1964, a bunch of people from all over the United States, typically white people, were going to Mississippi, and they were going to try to get people of color, black people, to register to vote and actually vote in an election. So we have this large population that has all these, freedoms of America, but not participating. And why is that? Well, Mississippi at the time, Mississippi has worked very hard not to be the punching bag, but they seem to lag behind the evolution of society by decades or a few. Mm-hmm. And there was intimidation by the local population against the black people about registering to vote or vote. If you register to vote or try to do that, your house could be burned down, you could lose your job, your family could be harmed from it.
Because one of the policies was that they would publish the name and address of all African Americans who registered to vote, and that was a problem.
Well, this is that story, and it's something that's important because we really do have a unique arrangement with population, between government and population. And we had a group that was not participating. It talked about Lyndon B. Johnson ultimately signing in, when he won his presidency, signed in to a law where you could not discriminate against a person. You didn't have to take a test to be able to sign up to vote or anything like that. And this is a good example of why we need very liberal laws on allowing people to vote. And we, Rock the Vote and all these other things that came after it are about increasing the number of people who are voting. It's a population. But this was real important to them. And you can just see where our generation kind of takes many things for granted. Of course you could vote. Or of course you could do that. For their generation, that really was, it was almost 100 years from the Civil War, and they still had not truly been integrated into society. Because these kids went down there and actually were put in harm's way because of it, it allowed the media to be able to come down, and all of a sudden there's a spotlight on this state, and things change. There is a 30 for 30 on the Mississippi Rebels, which is their University of Mississippi, where they talked about changing their mascot. They used to use an old guy in a white suit with a big white beard and stuff like that. And they're the Rebels, by the way. That's their, and their colors are blue and red, white, blue, and gray. And they have since, I would say maybe in the last 10 years, they've moved to a teddy bear type of player. He's still, you know, you can still do the cheer, hotty toddy. But the football coach, basically was saying, I need to recruit players. And they were still, using rebel flags, the Confederate flags, or the flag that was, considered the Confederate flag that we use now. And he said, listen, I've got to recruit to win, and you want to win football games, this is going to go away. And so they've changed that to a big M, you know, for the University of Mississippi. You know, Mississippi is light years away from where they were back in the 60s. And I would anticipate that the state has a very bright future because of their location, and it's got beautiful land and all sorts of stuff. It still is amazing that was going on. Basically, you know, for you, maybe 10 years before your birth.
Mm-hmm.
For me, it was 5 or 6 years before my birth. And that was the norm. It was okay.
Mm-hmm.
So, my goodness, how far we've come.
Reminds me of the 2014 Selma movie about Dr. Martin Luther King that was so provocative and so interesting on these topics.
Well, I think that you hit it right there, because they work real well. One is a documentary, and one's it's a story told through a movie.
That's right. Another story told through a movie is opening this week. It's called Midnight Special. This is about a little boy who has some weird things happening all around him, and the family has to try to figure out what's happening with this little boy. Science fiction.
Uh-huh. And so we have General Zod and Kylo Ren both in this movie.
There you go. There you go.
Not playing their real-life parts, right?
Yeah, they are just actors playing other parts. But hey, look, it's Kylo Ren, everyone.
Yes, this is our science fiction pick of the week. This is an interesting week. There are other movies that we're not going to be talking about. But I think this is, if I had to pick a film, this would be right there. I think this is the film I would see.
My wife, if she had to pick a film, she would go see The Little Prince, which was supposed to open on Friday, but Paramount has pulled distribution of this film in the United States, and they did this all of a sudden last Thursday.
And The Little Prince is an animated film. It looks like a Pixar type of, it's not Pixar.
Right.
It's gotten great reviews from when it opened back last summer.
Mm-hmm.
I don't understand why Paramount would pull out so quickly of
it. There's something there that we as the public are not being told. There's okay. some reason why Paramount is not distributing this in the United States. Maybe they're finding a better distributor. But to pull it a week before it was announced to be released is very interesting.
Well, it is opening in Canada. Mm-hmm. They got good reviews there. We're going to be able to watch it at some point. This will be a pretty good film.
I think it really looks like it's a good film. It's gotten great reviews. My wife is certainly going to watch it as a French teacher. This is one of her favorite stories.
Well, the thing that we're dealing with in the United States is, one, they haven't put any marketing effort behind it.
Right.
I haven't seen any commercials on television. I just found it because the movie was coming out, and I knew about it from last summer. From reading an article about it.
So, when it was released in France.
Yeah, it's just very interesting. It took so long to get here. And then we're, spring break's up. And this is the perfect type of movie for spring break.
And they're just not putting it out.
Yeah, there's just something going on.
I think probably it'll see a streaming distribution of some sort. A Hulu or a Netflix will swoop in and catch this one.
I think so, too.
I think that would be a great way to find it. Just like Pee-wee's Big Holiday, which is going to be on Netflix on Friday. Guess what I'm going to watch on Friday, Chip?
I know you are, but what am I?
Oh, I love Pee-wee Herman. Paul Reubens is an amazing tour de force. He is this character, Pee-wee Herman, and he doesn't look any different. It's been 30 years, and the man still looks like a child with a plastic face.
Well, this looks like it'll be a little bit of fun.
Oh, yeah.
A little nostalgia, and obviously... Yeah. this is going to be his other big adventure.
Yes, it's another big adventure. Pee-wee's Big Holiday. I don't know the storyline. I haven't watched any of the commercials, like, other than to see the face of Paul Reubens. I don't know anything about the plot. I'm going to sit down on Friday and watch this one.
This looks like it's going to be a little fun. It's going to be on Netflix.
That's on Netflix. Also on Netflix on Friday, so I'll have to watch that one first. Then we can watch Daredevil Season 2.
Daredevil Season 1 was excellent.
Really well done. Great cinematography.
In fact, it may have been the best superhero movie. One of the best superhero movies.
For 2015 or ever?
I think ever.
Wow.
I mean, it was really good.
It's very powerful. There's no doubt that the story of Daredevil is very powerful when it's done the way that Netflix did it.
And it's not aimed at children.
Correct.
This is aimed at young adults, I would say.
Yeah.
So we're getting Season 2. They're going to introduce Punisher and Elektra. And so they're still working with the history of this character. These are characters that, if you've ever read Daredevil, you know a little bit about them. And this should be very, very good.
I have high expectations. The only thing in my brain that keeps catching is when you say Punisher, I think of all of the Punisher movies that have been made in the past, which were no good at all.
Punisher was owned, I think, by Fox, along with Ghost Rider. And those characters eventually were released back to Marvel. So okay. Marvel took these characters. The characters are probably much more in line with the television series, the Netflix series that they have put together. I'm sure they're going to be pretty reasonable.
I have very high expectations.
They did a great job with Kingpin, with Wilson Fisk.
So good, yes.
So, I think they're going to take care of him well. If we think of Daredevil, Jessica Jones, this is the third part of it.
Is Luke Cage.
Well, that'll be the fourth.
Oh, that's the fourth.
Yes. And that comes out, they announced that would be coming out September 30th.
Yes.
So Luke Cage, who was in, I don't know if he was in Daredevil, but he was in the Jessica.
He was in Jessica Jones, not Daredevil.
Okay. So he's the guy, the bartender with his skin that won't break.
He's so handsome. And then we add Iron Fist to that later on. And then we've got the Defenders.
Yeah. So this is pretty ambitious.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll see how these kind of play out. So far, they've done two wonderful series. And in Jessica Jones series, if you haven't caught that, my goodness, that's good television.
It's very dark. It's very different. It's not anything for children, but it is well done characterizations, great storylines. That's really what I look for.
Sure.
Brings us to our appetite or app of the week. And guess what, Chip? It's mid-March. That means madness is around the corner.
That means NCAA basketball tournament.
That's right. March madness.
So last week we had all the conference tournaments, which were very exciting. And in fact, one of the things I did was I watched the ACC championship game with North Carolina and Virginia. I got kicked upstairs and I had an Apple TV. So I watched it through the Apple TV.
And how'd that work out?
Well, in the past, if you watched something that had commercials in it on through a service like a Roku or an Apple TV or Fire TV, typically you would get the same commercial.
Same one commercial every commercial break. That's really annoying.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is the Audi commercial that you're going to see 10 times.
Yeah.
Well, that did not work that way for the basketball tournament. What we got for the ACC basketball tournament is we got playing just like a television presentation, where we had a whole bunch of different commercials. In addition to that, sometimes when you watch sports through Roku or Apple TV or a Fire Stick or something like that, what you get is something that looks maybe like a movie. It's high definition, but it certainly doesn't have the brightness of a movie.
Okay,
It has the brightness of a movie, not of a sporting event. Well, no. This was high quality. It looked just, in my opinion, just as good as watching as on high-definition television.
We're right there on the edge of the transition between the television era and the streaming media over the internet era.
Now, I don't know if that has to do with lighting. My guess is it's lighting.
Okay.
But we're right there. And if you're watching the NBA ball, what you have is just high quality streaming content typically, and you can see it in some of the other stuff, but the tournaments were very good. I have very high expectations for the NCAA tournament. And the question is how can you watch this? And where can you watch it? If you're watching on television, it truly is interesting. You're dealing with the CBS networks and you're dealing with the TBS networks.
The Turner.
Mm-hmm. And so what you have is CBS, you have TBS, you have True TV, and you have TNT. And on Thursday and Friday, when these games show up, you can watch all of them right there. But many of us are not where we have a television available, especially one that's, all those are cable. I'm sorry, except for CBS. You end up having to watch through cable.
Mm-hmm.
Well, NCAA has the ability to stream.
Yeah, you found and put into the show notes the direct link to the NCAA.com March Madness, and they are showing this in every way possible. There's a whole list. Whatever device you have for streaming, you've got it there. The interesting thing is how the sponsorships line up for each one, and they're slightly different for each format.
You can stream it right from your computer
mm-hmm.
by just going to March Madness. But if you choose to go through a service using your Xbox, using a Fire Stick, using a Roku, an Apple TV, using Google Play, something of that nature, you're going through their own service mm-hmm. for that. And each one of those has a different sponsorship. It looks like Capital One is for many of them.
Mm-hmm.
Looks like Infinity is for part of them. But if you went through the Xbox, it looks like the only sponsor for that is AT&T,
mm-hmm.
which is just, like I said, very interesting that they would choose that.
Contracts are interesting. There's no doubt about that.
But streaming rights are different than the broadcast rights, either through over the air or through cable. And so we're dealing a little bit. We talked a little bit about that last week. You can watch any of the games. So on Thursday and Friday, there are 16 games going on. There are multiple games that are being played at the same time. In the old days, when we only had CBS, they would flip between the games. So you'd have your local game, and then if that turned out to be a blowout, they'd flip it over to a game that was really close.
Really?
The way it works right now is all the games are being played. You can click on the one you want to watch, bring it up, and then I think they may have one that you can use it like old school, where it would keep flipping into the hot game or the ending of a game. Because they always want to get you to the ending, because you never know what can happen in these games.
So March Madness is kind of a cultural phenomenon. There's lots of people who are going to be watching this and filling out their brackets and trying to figure out the whole thing.
A lot of IT departments are going to be trying to deal with bandwidth. I'm sure there'll be some emails going out to people in offices, please don't use all of our bandwidth.
Really?
Well, because they're all watching games.
Really?
We get an email once in a while. You know, we're not supposed to watch stream stuff for long periods of time through company networks. But anyway, this is a very exciting time. It's probably the second most popular sporting event, Thursday and Friday, after the Super Bowl, I would say.
Wow.
Maybe third, thinking of the bowl games that come up. But, this is really a lot of fun. Even if you don't know anything about the teams or anything like that, people fill out brackets, they enter pools, and then you'll find somebody who says, well, I don't know anything about it, but they got them all right. It's always amazing. I think my brother was in the top 5%. You can put your bracket into like ESPN or CBS or anybody. Anyway, they'll rank you against everybody else. So there may be, let's just say there's 1 million people who have entered. You could be part of the top group because you picked an upset that no one else picked.
Hmm.
You picked a team because you liked their nickname, or you liked their color, or because you knew they had the starting person for the other team was out. I don't know. But there's always an upset, and somebody picked it up, and so be it.
Awesome. Sounds like a great way to spend a couple hours. Or a couple days. This is...
Let's mention one other part of this. We have a gentleman that has basically said that the targeted ads for streaming services really are lacking. So we're at the beginning of exploring this. Sporting events are probably the best at being able to pick demographics and to be able to give those targeted ads. Where we're really struggling with it is on trying to, who's going to pay for Full House? There are no ads on Netflix, but if there were, what company is going to give that ad? And how can we get those so you're not watching the same ad 50 times during some kind of presentation.
Mm-hmm. So. Yeah, we've talked about that a few times. That is annoying to watch Crackle and to see that same ad every commercial break.
Sure.
It just does not work for the viewing experience. And that brings us to our Now the News segment. Look at this, Chip. There's news this week. The Mystery Science Theater 3000 reunion that we were sure was never going to happen. Remember in October when we talked to Trace Bilou?
I do.
He said he was not a part of Mystery Science Theater. He was not going to be a part of any of that. We found out this week that he is going to be a part of the Riff Tracks Mystery Science Theater 3000 reunion.
And Frank is too, right?
And TV's Frank will be there as well.
Oh, how wonderful is that?
Mary Jo Peel will be there along with Mike and Kevin and Bill. And they're going to do it live in theaters like they do all of their other productions through Riff Tracks.
So we almost have two troops going on right now, don't we?
Yeah.
Because we have Riff Tracks, mm-hmm. which is would be Mystery Science Theater Classic.
Yeah, that's a good way to look at it.
And then we have New Coke.
Right, the new version where Joel has hired a whole new troupe of actors to be the next generation of Mystery Science Theater. And those are going to be coming out real soon, too. And yes, both groups have my money. This is a Kickstarter campaign, so yes, they've already received my money for this. They've already raised $250,000 to get this done.
Well, they have a fan base, and they definitely are very talented.
Oh, yeah, and very entertaining. Guess what I fell asleep watching last night? Mystery Science Theater. Very exciting. I'm very interested to talk to Trace about it again. I hope we can get that opportunity because I like the classic.
I do too. I do. I think there's a place for both.
And that's a great way to put it. We are going to see a new generation and we still have the veterans doing it some more. President Barack Obama went to South by Southwest this week. Those of you who don't know, South by Southwest is like the millennial gathering of all the nerds in Austin, Texas.
Well, Austin, Texas is a great place to be.
Oh, I want to go. I want to go so bad. I think that's what I want to go for spring break. Just go hang out.
Have you ever been?
No.
Oh, well, that's pretty.
I've also never been to St. Louis. We're thinking about going there instead. For no reason.
And you grew up in Illinois, and it's only five hours away.
And I've never gone there.
No.
President Obama went down to South by Southwest. He gave a speech there, and he said to that crowd of people that the government needs a way to manage encryption so that we can stay safe.
He said, hey, there are bad people out there. There are child pornographers and people who want to harm, terrorists and all that stuff. We need a way to break into their phone. You should allow us to do that.
You should give us the keys so that we can help you.
I hope millennials are smarter than that.
I hope so, too.
That seems like such a bad way of doing things. How do you catch bad people? Well, use other means
to catch
them. There's
so many methods. The FBI has been investigating cases and solving cases for so long. Just because a vault is locked doesn't mean you can't solve the case. You go around, you look around, see what the fingerprints on the outside of the vault look like.
And as always, when we're dealing with technology, it's either secure or not secure. Mm-hmm. And we've had all sorts of challenges with having, you know, making things that are secure.
That's right.
So encryption, I think, is important. I think President Obama is off on this. This is not his strongest case. And I think that it's not the strongest area or group of people to go after. But you know what? They could be naive. They could say, well, you know, they're your buddies.
He is the nerd in chief. He was the first sitting president to carry a smartphone and the first one to write a computer program. So I am with President Obama most of the time, but I disagree with him on this case. The mass market edition of To Kill a Mockingbird is going to be pulled from shelves.
Why is that?
Well, unfortunately, we know that Harper Lee passed away a few weeks ago, and her estate is wanting to protect her legacy by not allowing inexpensive copies of that book to be sold.
Well, and the reason why we have inexpensive copies, usually airport copies or something like that, is what I would say is that schools.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, the first thing I did was I sent this article over to a friend of mine, an English teacher, and I said, "You're still using this book?" Oh yeah, we read it every night for ninth grade.
Yeah.
And so they're going to move from an $8.99, which is basically retail price, you probably get it less at Amazon, to more of another type of format. And I think the introductory price is $14.99 for that. And that's without any looking around for sales and stuff. The Kindle version is $10.99. Mm-hmm. So this inexpensive version is going to go away, and that's typically the one that schools would use. Mm-hmm. If I am a school and I am trying to purchase books for everybody,
doubling the price is certainly going to hurt. Even though it's only going from, say, $5 to $10, it's still doubling the price.
Classic or not, the idea of being able to replace it with a book that could be, you could tell the same morals or same story, that does have a mass market book, this could be detrimental. I mean, and this also could really hurt her legacy, not because Harper Lee wasn't a great writer, and certainly not because this book's not a great book. It could hurt the legacy because it becomes a book that gets hidden into the crowd, where, you know, if it's part of 1,000, if it's mm-hmm. part of 50 books that we read through high school, then it's the one of 50. If it's part of the millions of books that are available, then it gets lost because it has the weight of a crowd behind it. Mm-hmm. So this is. I don't necessarily think that they're going to achieve what they think they're going to achieve by this.
A lot of people think that raising prices makes you more money. And a lot of times it doesn't work that way because you just price yourself out of the market.
Well, Walmart sells a lot of stuff and they do it very inexpensively. And you can argue any way you want about it. But they've made an entire business plan about selling you things inexpensively.
And if they suddenly doubled the price on everything, you would shop somewhere else.
Yep. And you know what? Well, Amazon's done the same thing. Mm-hmm. So there's a place in the world for the Neiman Marcus's of the world. And there are a place in the world for the everyday retailer of the world. And I think that they're missing this one with books. I don't think that people who are book publishers are the smartest marketers ever.
But part of this is the transition from the paper copy to the digital copy. And we're still in an area of time where the digital copy is sometimes more expensive than the paper copy, which doesn't make any sense.
Well, Apple and Amazon got in trouble for that. In fact, they're getting ready to send out the money to the people who they've reached the settlement mm-hmm. for. This is a pretty complicated thing. This seems like a bad decision by the estate, mm-hmm. and the publisher. I don't know why they would not try to convince them not to do the other thing.
Right.
I just don't. It just seems like this book's going to now get lost.
It's certainly possible. It is a classic. It is still taught in our schools, and it might not be down the line.
Yeah.
We have an interesting story to wrap up this week, and this one is about the M-Power app study. They're studying Parkinson's disease, and this is one of the Apple Research Kit apps. Apple came out with this research kit last year saying, we want to use the power of our smartphones. We have all of these millions of smartphones around the world. Let's harness the power of these supercomputers to gather as much data as we can, and maybe we can solve some of the world's health problems. Parkinson's disease is certainly a terrible disease, and we have some data, but what if we had more? That's what we're talking about with this study.
Yeah, it looks like that what they were doing is they were taking 9,500 people, and they were kind of crowd collecting this data to see for patterns or anything else they could do. I don't know what they're collecting from this, but this seems like a very powerful and something very useful to hopefully be able to solve some of these things. And I don't know if you know somebody who's had cancer or something of that nature. And by all means, people do get cured from it. But if you were a person that was in a situation that the cure wasn't going to work, you knew your time was imminent. Your choices are, well, you could become ultimately become a guinea pig. Or something. Listen, give me something, and if it works, great. And if it doesn't, at least we know this one doesn't work. Mm-hmm. I mean, that seems like this is that in-between stage of this. Let's see if we gathered a whole bunch of information, and maybe we learned something about these people that we could use to help them.
Medical technology has made giant leaps forward over the last few decades, and having more data can only lead to more knowledge, and that's the great thing about this idea.
Yep, and when you have this disease, you know, while privacy is something that is important, this is not necessarily the great part where just the activities, not Steve's activities, not Chip's activities, but kind of aggregating all that activity could be helpful to hopefully one day solving something like this.
That's a great future you have in front of you right there. Great work.
So you got all your green stuff on. I'm dressed as a leprechaun. We're going to go drink some beer. It's going to be a good week.
It's a good week, man. It is a good week. We got basketball. They're going to go and bounce it and then throw it in the thing.
You got Pee-wee and you've got Daredevil.
Forget it.
This is a great week.
I'm all set. I think we have enough information to survive another week. What do you think?
Only if we can come back next week.
Excellent. If you need more information, you can find it all over the place. You can go to our website, toomuchscrolling.com. We're on Twitter. We hit 10,000 Twitter followers this week.
How about that? Well, follow us on Twitter. Follow us on Facebook.
Yeah, we got our Facebook page. We've got our Instagram page. You can find us on iTunes and Stitcher and TuneIn Radio. And every day of the week, you can go to our news site, news.toomuchscrolling.com. Find out all the information that you need. That's what it's all about, I think.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what it's all about. I think it might be the hokey pokey. You turn yourself around. That's what it's all about. Thank you again for listening to Too Much Scrolling. I'm Steve Fodor.
I'm Patty O'Hessenflow.
See you in the future.